2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen. In the sky so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, 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 hey. It's a sunny day. Sunny day now. My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, 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 hey. It's just a sunny day. Hey, 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 it's a sunny day. It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Well, thank you for joining us for hour three of the Greenhouse Show, flying by a ton. It always does. You get to sit down and talk about gardening and plants, and it's just enjoyable, so it goes by fast. And it helps
turn that mic on
that
again.
Mic, yeah.
It's been a while. So it is a good time of year to just be outside, even if it's a little hot. I really enjoy the summer. I like that it's pretty much light until 9:15, light at 5:30 or 6 in the morning, and it's just my favorite time of year.
I'm a winter guy, you know that, but I do enjoy my gardening. So actually, I like all the seasons for different reasons, right? But this might be the longest you and I have ever been on this show and gone without talking tomatoes.
I think it is. It's usually the first hour, the second hour, the bottom of the first, you know, all the, it's tomato
that,
time.
We
all
need
the
to
time.
Rectify that right now. You guys just put up a post on social media.
We did. I found an article that talks about the effects of hot weather on tomato development, the fruit development on tomatoes. I've been getting calls in my office, people lamenting the fact that they're sure that they're not getting any tomatoes this year. It's almost August and the tomatoes are green and not setting. And in hot years, we get a lot more of those calls than we do.
They happen every year.
Every year.
Yeah.
But about mid-July, I start getting those calls. Are my tomatoes ever going to ripen? What am I doing wrong? And you're probably doing nothing wrong. It's just the hot weather.
Tomatoes just don't set fruit during the hot weather. Most varieties don't.
No, they don't. You can get some specific ones. I know you've grown some that are bred to bloom at high temperatures, but a lot of them, the flavor's just not there.
Yeah, I tried. I did this for 2 or 3 years. I would take a couple. The variety was called Heat Wave 2. And I would plant just one or two of those, so I would get tomatoes earlier. But and they would give me tomatoes sooner, but the tomatoes are smaller, but the flavor just didn't match up to my celebrities. And ultimately, I just decided I'll wait the few extra weeks to get better tomatoes than to plant these.
Yeah, I mean, for tomatoes like that, they're okay if you're mixing them into salsas and you have a lot of other flavors going in, but they're just not there. You know, one strategy I used to use is I would grow short season tomatoes and get them out when I, as soon as I reasonably could. Mm-hmm. You know, I might use some walls of water to get them out in mid-April instead of mid-May. And I always could get a tomato crop by early to mid-July of these determinant short season cool weather tomatoes. But I ran into the same problems that they still tasted better than a store tomato, but they just didn't measure up to a lot of those later season, you know, the celebrities and big boys and the better boys and all those that you just really crave, you know, for the fresh salsas and sandwiches and things. So, but the problem with tomatoes right now is we had sustained temperatures of 100 degrees for a couple of different periods for 3 or 4 or 5 days. Temperatures at 100 degrees will greatly slow tomato fruit development. So the fruit's set, but it'll just sit there at 100 degrees and not develop. Temperatures above 90 or 95 will cause flower abortion in tomatoes. And so the flowers just drop because they can't pollinate properly. And so if it's up to 100 degrees, you're not getting any new fruit set. And so what will happen as we start to cool down in mid-August, especially, is that the flowers will set and through August and September, and it may be as late as Memorial Day this year, but through September, especially into early October, we will have a tomato crop. We just need to be patient.
Yeah, this is an annual thing. We always get those midsummer temperatures that our tomatoes don't like here. I mean, they grow just fine here, but you just have to know and be ready for this, that you're not going to get fruit in July. It's just not going to happen. It's usually start, you know, somewhere around mid-August when you really start to see that fruit come out, when the temperature is backing off a little bit. My tomatoes at home right now, I can count on one hand the number of my plants, and I've got a bunch of them that have fruit set. And you're right. They've been small, and they're not growing, and they're not ripening. It's just going to be a while before that happens.
It really is. And so, you know, the strategy of growing the short season tomatoes, the heat tomatoes, and those can be fine because they will give you some. But mm-hmm. another strategy I've seen a lot of commercial growers turning to is shade cloth. And you can order shade cloth online relatively inexpensively or purchase it from local farm stores and garden centers, but you want about a 20 to 30% shade. That's the grade that you want. And then you would use, if you've ever seen low tunnels where they have the little hoops that go over your garden rows, you would use something like that to support the shade cloth. And use of shade cloth will reduce temperatures under the tomatoes by probably 5 to 10 degrees. And so you can get tomatoes, if you use it as soon as you start getting into the 90s, you can get tomatoes anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks sooner using shade cloth.
I like this idea. I like it enough that I may try it next year. It would be great to have, you know, we use walls of water to extend the growing season. And I think that's kind of the way I see the shade cloth, because we're taking care of two extremes, the cold and the heat, right? And, you know, let me ask you this. So you have determinate and indeterminate varieties of tomatoes. Is this going to extend the growing season for determinate varieties as well?
It will cause them to ripen sooner. Now, those determinate varieties will still sporadically bloom and give you enough tomatoes to keep them, but 70% of your crop comes in a 2 or 3 week period.
Right.
Indeterminate, you get tomatoes for a lot longer, but fewer tomatoes per week. And so the determinate ones, I remember a scene from The Godfather to where he was gardening tomatoes on poles,
mm-hmm.
and they were 6 or 8 feet tall. Those would be an indeterminate variety trained onto a pole. The determinate ones, like Celebrities, give you a lot of tomatoes within a 2 or 3 week period just to differentiate those. But what the shade will do is ensure earlier crops, and then those will set some secondary growth, and you will continue to get tomatoes on them.
Right. So this is a benefit for all of them, but indeterminate varieties.
It really is to just maximize your season. Now, one thing that people might be able to do just to help them psychologically next year when they don't have tomatoes is to take their camera out when the tomatoes ripen and take pictures and do a photo album and just put it aside.
Cue the memories music.
And here. So the next July, when you're like, oh, I'm never going to get tomatoes, stupid weather's too hot, why did I plant them, it's all this work, you can get your photo album of last year's tomatoes to remind yourself they will come.
There will be a happy ending.
Yes, you will be happy.
All right, so don't stress about your maters right now. They're going to be fine. You're going to get a crop. It's just going to take a while. We need these temperatures to back off a little bit. And not just the daytime temperatures. We've been talking about the extremes.
Nighttime critical
overnight
temperatures
is a
over
big deal.
70, and that reduces blossom set and fruit development. So 55 to 65 at night, below 90 during the day is tomato ripening weather.
So we will get there.
We'll get there.
Just be patient. In the meantime, your plants are growing, and you're going to have more plant to make that fruit when the time comes.
You really are. And before we go to break, really quick, a lot of times people have been concerned about watering. Usually exceptions are made for gardens so that you, even if you can't water your grass, you can still water your garden if it's on drip or something. And so you will need to check with your city or your irrigation company specifically. But I've never seen vegetable gardens included in drought restrictions.
Right. So you can water your tomatoes in probably most all cases. So be aware of that. All right. We are going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to chat with Carrie and Sherry and Lynn on their calls. They're holding, waiting to ask their questions of Ton. We're going to take some texts and answer those as well. And if you've got one, 57500 is the text line, or you can give us a call at KSL Talk, and we'll be back with more on The Greenhouse Show on KSL.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
It's The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio. And we've been talking tomatoes, but let's take a call here, Ton. We've got Carrie, who's been patiently waiting in Riverton. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning. Thank you. A longtime listener, first-time caller, and I really appreciate the service you guys provide.
Thank you. We're glad to have you here. Glad you finally gave us a shout.
Hey, I have in several of my flowers, particularly dahlias, marigolds, a little insect. You touch the plant, it hops out. They're really hard to catch. I think they're kind of a wedge-shaped green color, but my plant leaves show like they're sucking sap. I think they're lightly colored and speckled. So wondering what I could treat. I have a lot of pollinators and really don't want to impact them.
Man, I have been away from studio so long, I keep forgetting to turn my microphone on. That was just automatically done before. So there could be a couple different things going on. And what I'll have you do is look up an insect called Western flower thrips, because they're the same approximate shape. And they're really common in multiple species of flowers and vegetables. So it could be leafhoppers or it could be Western flower thrips. But the treatment for both of them is very similar. And if you want it to be as safe as possible but try to get rid of them, you might turn to a product like Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. That is an organic insecticide that is fairly effective against a lot of different insects, but it's a little more friendly toward pollinators and beneficials. You could try, if you had some nymphs in there, some horticultural soap. I think the Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew might be a little bit more targeted for what you're looking to do.
Okay, great. I will give that a try.
All right. Hopefully the cabin can help you out there, Carrie. Thanks for your call, and thanks for being there for all these years. All right, let's check in with Sherry, who is calling in from Murray. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I saw a video on Facebook from the Conservation Garden Park about a gentleman who planted a clover in his yard so that it's drought tolerant, and it's green, it's beautiful and lush. But it has like little, I think it's called white flowered clover or something, but it attracts bees. Is there a clover that could replace the lawn? He just kind of cut his lawn really short and then just seeded over it, and it kind of chokes out all of the weeds and everything. That kind of sounded like a great idea. Is there anything that, but we really don't like the bees because we have grandkids.
Well, clover is not going to be an option then, because it just flowers. That's what it does. So I wouldn't recommend that. And then the clover may be slightly more drought tolerant than Kentucky bluegrass, but it's still, without water, going to go brown. And so it's not a suitable replacement for lawn grass. It also doesn't tolerate a lot of traffic. You can mow it and walk across it, but if you're trying to play soccer, the clover will be worn to the ground and won't recover suitably, especially with continued play, because grass just tolerates a lot more foot traffic. And so clover has its place, but it's not a replacement for turf grass if you have a lot of traffic. So, and it's not incredibly drought tolerant. It goes dormant and brown, and so it can tolerate drought, but it doesn't stay green. So there are some disadvantages to it.
Well, I'm grateful that I called because my husband was ready to kind of start that plan. So what would you recommend?
Well, I just recommend watering less often and letting the grass brown out a bit with a drought. With increased temperatures, you can even water all you want. And if we're consistently above 100, your lawn still is going to go dormant in areas. And so I don't know that there's going to be a solution that warrants ripping out all your grass unless you want. If you're going to do that, I would veer toward buffalo grass. It's green at least from mid-May to mid-September, but brown in the spring and fall if you were going to go to that extent. But I just think I would water more efficiently, be careful with how and when, and just keep what I've got.
Okay, that's great. I mean, our grass is pretty brown.
Okay, so you're doing your part, and if you plug clover in there, it's not going to be a miracle, you know, green up or anything, and it has its place. It does attract the pollinators in, but it absolutely is not a replacement for Kentucky bluegrass lawn if you're walking on it, if you're allergic to bees and you have a lot of traffic.
Okay, super. Thank you. I'm so glad I called because my husband was ready to go for it. So.
Tell him he owes you dinner.
Yeah, I will. I'll tell him. Thank you. I'll tell him.
Night out on the town for Sherry. All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your call. And the other thing about, you know, doing something like that is you get into it and you decide you don't like it. Now what do you do?
No. We had an interview three weeks ago with Liz Braithwaite, who has a clover lawn and has had one for several years. And what she has found is, what I said, it has its place. It's not really any more drought tolerant as far as remaining green than grass. The one that she liked, if you just have an area that you need to cover that requires less water, was yarrow, which is a perennial that we grow for flowers. But if you mow it, it has a really ferny leaf and stays low to the ground, and it will go 2 or 3 weeks without irrigation just fine and stay green. Are you going to be able to go play soccer on it? I don't think so. But if you're wanting something that stays green, that's a lawn alternative, yarrow might actually be an option.
Yeah. So I honestly, in the way I see this, if you're going to have something besides grass, it's time just to go to xeriscaping.
Yeah. And people hear the term xeriscape and they're like, oh, I'm not doing that. It's zero. So we call it water-wise landscaping, localscaping. But you can, like, localscapes is a program from a conservation garden park that will reduce your irrigation by 50%. And you still have a gorgeous yard with grass. You have the grass where you need it and you can have enough to play baseball or soccer. But you use grass as something like you would a walkway and you only put it where you need to. So there are many landscape programs out there that you can reduce and still not have your yard looking like the West Desert.
Right. And one place we can all start, well, depending on the city, because there are city rules about this. But if you live in a community that will allow you to get rid of that grass in your parking strip, that's a massive water waster because it's hard to water just that little narrow strip without dumping half the water into the road.
For me to water my park strip, which there is some grass in, I've taken one park strip out, but the grass I have, I've got to turn it on a trickle and move it every 15 minutes so that I don't spray the street and sidewalk excessively. And it takes me about an hour to an hour and a half to water about a 50-foot stretch. So that I'm not getting water where I don't need it. So there are plans for that to come out, but I'm needing to find some solutions. There's extenuating circumstances I've got to be careful with, but yeah, it is ridiculous. And I've done it with a hose and I know what it takes. And it's an hour and a half twice a week to water my park strip.
Yeah. In my case, that grass is probably next spring is going to come out, and I don't know what I'm going to put in place, you know, pavers or whatever. But the other problem I have, it's under these two giant shade trees. And the grass doesn't grow well there anyway.
No. No, and in that situation, red fescue, creeping red fescue, is somewhat drought hardy, at least as much as Kentucky bluegrass, and tolerates the shade better. But being under shade trees, it would probably only need to be watered once a week to keep it green.
Right. So those park strips are going to be a problem. I think a lot of communities are going to start to address this. All right. We're going to jump out, take a break here, and we'll come back on the other side of news, traffic, and weather and take some more of your calls. KSL Talk is the line there. And we're going to take some texts as well. 575-00 is that line. Stay with us here on KSL.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.